This is Brent, Burgundy Blog. It's a Burgundy Blogcast. Commanders just lost 40-20 to the Bears at home on Thursday Night Football. It's almost midnight on, the 4th or 5th of October or something. I wouldn't mind the last 4 hours of my life back. So the first half by the Commanders was literally some of the worst football I've ever seen in my life. Offense was gross. Defense was somehow even worse. Bears obviously came in 0-4. A few hours ago, most people thought that they were the worst team in the league. I'm not quite sure what that makes the Commanders now. Fields came in having a bad year, ton of sacks. Showed, I guess, a little bit of life last week, but nonetheless, seemed like a quarterback that this fancy defense should have been able to shut down. And he spent the first half doing almost anything he wanted. DJ Moore, open all night, 230 yards on the game, 3 touchdowns. Honestly, the Bears were scoring at will in the first half, even with Fields missing several throws. I mean, very first offensive play of the game for them, Fuller got completely torched and Fields missed it. There were several others that he missed, and that Bears offense still went nuts. Just a total unmitigated disaster in the first half for the Commanders defense. Please forget anything I've said recently about the defensive line being among the best or even the best in the NFL. Please erase that from your minds. I'm not sure I feel like they weren't trying, but all three levels of the defense tonight, obviously in the first half in particular, just an F. Forbes was just as bad as last week and got benched. Fuller, who had been the best corner this year so far, got beat multiple times. St. Juice got beat a few times. Safety just didn't do anything. Linebackers didn't do anything, as usual. I guess Chase Young actually didn't have the worst game. He generated a lot of pressures. He seemed to be going hard. As an individual, I can't kill him. But there sure seems to be something to this growing narrative that the defensive line as a whole does not function as well when he's on the field. I mean, put it all together, Bears receivers were just running into wide open spaces, Bears running backs running through gaping holes over and over. And I mean, this defense has 6 former and recent first-round picks playing prominent roles. And it's the 4th year under the current defensive coordinator, Jack Del Rio. No excuses whatsoever, just absolutely disgustingly bad. And they've been remarkably healthy, too, overall. Certainly can't blame injuries. On offense, 3 points in the first half, there was nothing going on. Second half, Sam Howell woke up a little bit, strung together a lot of consecutive completed passes, at least, ended up going for 388 yards on 51 attempts. 2 touchdowns. I wouldn't say he was fantastic today, but I wouldn't say he was bad. I mean, he was fine. He wasn't on the top 5 problems. Every game he shows extreme toughness, which I'm definitely all about. He managed to keep it together despite getting way, way down. The offense actually was looking quite functional in the third quarter and halfway through the fourth, and that was mostly on him, so I respect that part. He had one interception that was deserved. He had one batted pass that definitely should have been intercepted. Personally, I thought the long bomb to Deami Brown in the end zone was more his fault than Brown's, because Deami was freaking wide-ass open on that play. There was a huge target area, and that ball was on the very perimeter of it, if at all. But I don't want to emphasize those. I mean, I think Howell was fine, and for stretches, good. I'm definitely still in on him. He has clearly shown a high ceiling. If they can tap into him, I mean, that dude's going to be all right. Also, props to Logan Thomas. He's just a grown-ass man. He did have a fumble. That hurt. That stunted the little burgeoning comeback. But this guy, when healthy this year, has just made some incredibly difficult catches in heavy traffic. Big touchdowns, big first downs. Much respect for Logan Thomas. That guy's a warrior. Ground game really wasn't able to do much tonight. Terry McLaurin was MIA for most of the night. Biggest exception being a nice grab on a long gain of, I think, 30 plus on what was probably Howell's best pass of the night in the fourth quarter on the play right after the defensive pass interference against McLaurin had just gotten picked up, which, by the way, I didn't have a problem with. I thought that was very borderline. But the subsequent pass by Howell to McLaurin was money. I just wish McLaurin could have been a bigger factor tonight. Overall, just a bad job by both units. Hardly anything to write home about. And for good measure, Joey Sly misses like a 43-yarder in the fourth quarter to bury any hopes, such as they were, for a comeback. So special teams bomb too. This was another truly historic, embarrassing, humiliating one. On the level, I think, or very near it, with the Monday Night Massacre. Vic, Deshaun, so much pain then and now. Time is a flat circle. It is a really brutally embarrassing, nationally televised game that really, at least in terms of national perception and reputation, will probably neutralize any progress and momentum the team and its young quarterback had been gaining in that regard in recent months since the sale. Nobody's going to be taking this team seriously across the league after this one. Now, are the Commanders really among the very worst teams in the league? No, I'm not going to go that far. It's 4 days ago, they almost beat Philly in Philly. So, while they're obviously not a good team, and after tonight, I don't think I can call them even an average team, but I don't think they're truly bottom feeders. That being said, this loss is going to reverberate. This is a very memorable, very humiliating, abruptly progress-halting loss. And yeah, certainly, it's a bad enough loss to get people talking about firings. This being the fourth year for both Rivera and Del Rio, and with this loss clearly demonstrating that they're still miles away of where they would have been aiming for by now, I don't think it's ridiculous to bring up the possibility, but I don't expect it to happen. I think mainly at this point in his career, it seems unlikely to me that Rivera would scapegoat Del Rio and fire him this week and try to act like this is his fault, even if it is. He's fiercely loyal, and he also just seems to have entered this odd sort of end phase of his coaching tenure and coaching career where he's like deeply philosophical, and I just think, you know, he's probably not desperate to prolong this. I'm not saying he's quit. I'm not saying he's given up. I'm not saying he doesn't care. But I don't think he'll do any last thing it takes to continue to be the coach here. And I think he probably will not sell out his colleague to buy himself a few more weeks. Plus, pragmatically, I'm just not sure that there's a candidate, like an obvious in-house candidate, to replace him. It's really not overall a highly experienced set of defensive assistants. So what about going straight to the top and firing the head coach then, you might ask? Well, it's not inconceivable. I just kind of doubt that the new owner wants to be known for dropping the guillotine after 5 games. I guess, you know, maybe the only way I could see that is if he has already identified Bieniemy as a high potential replacement as head coach, if he wants to basically give him the rest of the season and see how it goes. That would be super bold in the first week of August. But maybe, you know, with them sitting at 2-3 and far from mathematically eliminated, that would give him some kind of like extended tryout, like 3 months of training wheels. But I just doubt it. I think it's too soon. I think if you start to see 2 or 3 of these in a row, just dumpster fire losses, then sure. But I just don't think Harris wants to be known for pulling the plug so quick. I'm not sure that sends the best message to prospective candidates to replace Rivera either. The season is not over, though. They're 2-3. They don't really have any quality wins, per se. They've got 2 blowout losses at home, one to a great team, one to an awful team, and they've got a near miss in Philadelphia. The season is still pretty young. It's not impossible that this group could gel and be a pretty good team in another month or two. I mean, the talent exists for that to be conceivable, theoretically. And they have two eminently winnable games coming up next, so we will continue to learn a lot. If they're 4-3 after those, then maybe we all start to believe a little bit again. If they're 3-4, or certainly if they're 2-5, then I think the season will, as they say, be getting late early. And maybe then big changes are a little more likely. I'll say this much from a purely practical standpoint, as one who has never been shy about appreciating the value of a good tank. If it didn't mean, if it didn't imply that Sam Howell was regressing, because I don't want to root for that at all right now. I want instead to root for him to continue to blossom and ultimately be a clear choice to continue as QB1 in Washington for 2024. But if not for that aspect, and it is hard to root for these separate things or to reconcile them and pull for one but not the other, but if not for Howell's development, heck yeah, I would sign up right now for 15 losses. I would love to be looking at a fresh start next year with my new owner, my new staff, and a top 3 pick in a draft rich with quarterbacks. Again, that obviously would be more relevant if Howell declares himself to be unworthy by then. And I think that part is increasingly unlikely. I mean, you have one game as good as he was in Philly, and it starts to become pretty hard to imagine him in the discard pile, at least like as soon as this December. But honestly, even if Howell is the guy, and I hope that he is, and I hope we have a cheap, dangerous QB1 for 2 more years, I think I still would rather be drafting in the top 3 of the first and every subsequent round with my new regime in place than to finish 7-10. I mean, if you're offering me a playoff game, a playoff opportunity at this point, 5 weeks in, I'm taking that. I'm taking that over a successful tank, because if you get in, you know, anything can happen. We'll make some memories. But are we feeling like this is a potential playoff team right now? I mean, it is, technically. It definitely is, technically. But, I mean, the defense has given up 30-plus in 4 straight games now. Can this be rectified enough? I think I'm feeling like 30 or 40% that this is a playoff team right now. And if it's not a playoff team, the ideal, if slightly impossible scenario is that Howell looks good, but they lose out. I'm sorry if it hurts your feelings, some of you. Some of you will get this, some of you will hate this. But hear me, this is not the same sort of masochistic mindset that I had when Snyder was here and there was so little to respect. This is really just more about me being ready to make everything anew, ready for a new start in as many ways as possible, including a new name if you're offering one, but that's for a different podcast. So that's it. I'm going to bed. Maybe I'll pod again next week if something big happens.